March 31st. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caroli. All month and even before March, the months of 2022 illustrate madness and morality. My co-host, Elizabeth Covered Carefully, and I tonight document this madness, as well as bring you the latest Ice Age update.
And Lou, we're glad to be coming to all of you great listeners. And the following listening venues are including our program, WWCR.com, as well as on their worldwide shortwave, Global Star, Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, and KSTARTalkRadio.com. You can consult the websites for listening schedules, dates, and the times. And, you know, we must tell you that we really appreciate the listeners who have been stepping up to help us in this emergency financial crisis time to stay on air. And we do need more help very soon. So some of you who haven't contributed perhaps for 7 or 8 months or a year, please do think about it, because a little bit can make quite a difference. And we do think that God wants us to continue to warn you things that you won't hear anywhere else, as you will see tonight. So, again, we thank those of you who have really been sacrificially helping us. And if you can send some cash or a money order. And right now, we're taken care of well with Global Star Communications. So if you do write a check, make it out to WWCR. Okay? And send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, the P.O. Box is 28. Bethlehem is capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And so now we have given you the ways to hear our program, and we hope that you will go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, go into the listening archives, and tell others about this important information. And our first report is beyond serious. This is another true 4-star emergency alert to save your life.
Elizabeth, you recall I made a remark to you about this whole aborted fetal cell-derived COVID gene shot genocide. I said that, in my opinion, this has been the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of mankind.
Yes, you did, Lou. And, you know, we went to listen to something on our smartphone, and for some reason, it didn't function. Something wouldn't come up. So we said, well, let's look for an alternative. And here was the alternative. And after we heard this, we knew that the Lord had guided us to this particular program. And again, we are not just seeking money, 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 but we have an old property that we think perhaps the New World Order has interfered with the sale, or Satan definitely has. So do pray that God will foil this problem. And then, of course, we wouldn't need quite as much money as frequently from all of you, but we carried this whole ball for about 18 years. Actually, the first real help we ever got from listeners occurred after Daryl Eberhardt came on, Captain Daryl Eberhardt, and asked all of you to finally help us. That was 2017. So in all the time from 2003 onward, we were not helped. One widow began to help us every month in the year about 2006, I think, and has continued to do that. So we do hope that the Lord will convict you that we are watchmen and we're trying to save your lives. And isn't that worth something? Can't you help us? I hope that you will send something if you're able to. Some people who are giving us money probably don't have very much at all. There are a few widows, older people, alone. Some of them are not well. Some of them are men. Now, if you're out there and you're very prosperous, please think about this. One other time, we had to make a decision. We were on two nights a week on WWCR, and there was no help of any kind. And we were really at that time getting into some big problems. And this is a true story that I said to the Lord, you know, I were just so tired carrying all this. Maybe we should ditch the Wednesday night. You know, if you think that, maybe you would show that passage in the Bible about shaking the dust off your feet and moving on. And this is absolutely the truth. I went to the Bible and opened it, and there was the passage. And I knew that God did not want us to carry the entire burden, so we did have to drop the Wednesday night. Now, it's our intent to just stay on as long as we possibly can, because I think God showed me scripture one day about crying out till the last city is wasted. Today, rather, this is yesterday now, we heard Mike Adams on his situation update, and he was very upset because one of his beloved farm animals had died. And he then began to talk about the hardships that we're all going to go through. I didn't really compute this, Lou. I was going to before airtime. But I looked at the obituaries again today in our local paper, and it was a phenomenal number of people in their 40s and 50s who died at home, passed away. It might have been maybe 60 to 70% of the obituaries. We're going to be seeing this happen. We're going to be getting into worse things. And I believe that for even the health ranger, who usually doesn't get into scripture as much as some, maybe some other strictly fundamentalist Christian people on radio, he said that another Christian he interviewed thinks we are in the tribulation. And if so, things are going to get much worse. And I believe that we need this radio program because we can pray for each other, the remnant, and we can share what we need to share. And those pastors, they need to be doing something more. So now, what we heard was the Jane Ruby Show for March the 28th, and that was Monday. And so what she had to say is what they plan next for us. And this is really, really terrible. And the findings are beginning to show that this gene integration, you see the mRNA working in the Pfizer and the Moderna shots, this alteration will lead to cancer, and it's not for healthy people. And so she brought out these points that they want to approve it for now 6 months old. This is a multi-pronged plan, and these are some of the prongs in the plan. Mass genocide, depopulation. Number two, disarm the immune system. Number three, gene editing. The more people are less human, the better. Do you understand that? God's DNA is being interfered with, and I think that will have soul repercussions, S-O-U-L. They won't be the same kind of people if this continues. Number four, pre-planned operating systems to keep operating. Five, graphene to react with outer agents, and we've talked about that, like 5G. There were some pictures that she showed, and there was a picture in some of the vials that were these branches that just began to grow on their own when it was heated. And so she said maybe this is something like the embalmers were finding when they went in and couldn't inject the embalming fluid, and these big white things came out. And then there was a picture that showed, and remember, these things, this operating system keeps working and assembling things after the shots. And it was a picture that looked a lot like a computer keyboard assembling itself. If this isn't enough to shake you up, I don't know what is, listeners. And when I had a little bit of my dyslexia, which I've always had, I can't remember how I pronounced linoleum, but it was really funny when I was a child. I could read very well. It didn't affect my reading, but it affected my directions. I go left when it should be right and things like that. So when we came upon that secret code in COVID-19, we're going to just say it again, that it's certificate of vaccination ID. In other words, they planned that this will be something to entrap us, to turn us into artificial robots, and eventually, under the guise of that, they'll murder more people, pretending they can upload your soul into the cloud and all this and all that. It's another form of euthanasia. And then remember the 19, COVID-19, the 19 was linked with the Hebrew alphabetic numerology, so that one is A, you see, and that's artificial. Nine is I, which is intelligence, artificial intelligence. There's the code. They're laughing. They're smirking right in our faces. So a little bit more about these gene shots. You know, people are still being like lemmings. And Jane Ruby said they're trying to comply. They're kind of asking, is there any kind of a safer shot? They're trying to comply with tyranny, she said. There's the big key you have to hear. Genome editing leads to irreversible changes. Because the question was asked, can you pass this down to your children? And the answer was yes. And there will be various ways this will happen, because there's a predisposition for the shot material to the COVID shot, the aborted fetal cell shot, to go to your gonads, testes, ovaries. And so the second generation, you might guess, will probably be sterile. That's what's going to be one thing. We wouldn't know what all the other ramifications are, and there would be more now happening in the body as it tries to resist all this. There would be much more autoimmune reacting going on. So there are going to be a lot of sick, sick people. We just don't know whether this can ever even be reversed. We heard about somebody he was operated on. But after a while, you know, after the spike proteins were removed, the system started up again. So we just don't know. And so Jane Ruby had access to the FDA, sort of talking to the companies. And this may have been a little clandestine, or it may have been out in the open, but there were a couple points. There is prolonged known biological activity to the unknown about in terms of sickness. It's a rich unknown, you see, a risk, too. We don't know. So now you've heard it. You really don't want to have anything to do with any kind of vaccines, not the flu vaccine. We told you last time that they had plans to merge mRNA into it. So we're going to have to be watching all of it. And now let's just move on, Lou.
All right, Elizabeth. And one of our opening things had to do with a little different slant from a website called Electroverse.
Oh, and I guess we forgot to talk just a little bit, since I went maybe a little bit over time on the last. Very quickly, in 2014, we did one or two programs on the coming ice age based on Dr. John L. Casey's book, Cold Sun. He later had a book named Upheaval. And the first one talks about the coming ice age that would be like both the Maunder and the Dalton solar minimums. And the one, the Maunder, was in the 1660s, around that time, to about 1745. And the other one, the Dalton, based again on minimal sunspot activity, was sort of at its peak in the year 1816. Now, we think that we have to really watch this carefully, because when we talked about it in 2014, we began to watch things, and it didn't progress greatly. But about 2 years ago, Lou and I began to notice something interesting. Here in Maryland, summers are very, very humid and hot. You open the front door, and it's like an oven. There's never a breeze. And where I came from, in western Pennsylvania, there were lots of breezes in the summer, and there would be a little cooling. And about 2 years ago, I opened the door one day, and I said, my goodness, it seems like western Pennsylvania. Jim says, yeah, isn't that interesting? So we noticed that. for 2 years, and now the winter we have just had sort of supports Casey's idea that there will be great aberrations in temperatures. It'll leap high, then it'll go down low. And in our upstairs in an unheated room, within 4 days, one night it was 72 degrees, and then it was, I think it was 41 or 39. And we've been having this kind of weather. Lou, talk about the big accident.
Yes, somewhere I think in Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania.
And that's pronounced Schuylkill.
Schuylkill, yeah. Mm-hmm. There, I'm showing my new
Just like Kanawha County, remember the outsiders talked about it as Kanawha and everything else, but it's Kanawha to West Virginians.
Yes, that's right. Well, anyway, there was a snowstorm. And I suppose the visibility was very poor. There was a crash. Some
now,
you might have seen
again,
it on TV.
Again, it was a little unusual because what date was that?
Well, that must have been somewhere around
was
March
that Monday?
27th, perhaps, 28th.
And so we're looking at this. This may be an anomaly that suggests this coming ice age. So go ahead a little bit on that.
Yes. So anyway, all kinds of cries were piling up. And it may have been slick, too. So that one car might have stopped and a whole bunch of them plowed into him and more plowed into him. I think it was somewhere around 50 automobiles in all and trucks, too.
Yes. So now let's move right on because we're going to get to the heart of one of the articles. And we have to give a little disclaimer. We tried to bring it up to date, and there was one opposing view. And we wonder whether this might be disinfo, listeners, from the global warming crowd, because it said, oh, there was going to be heightened solar activity, that there had already been two flares. And I guess the cycle we're in now, I think, is 25, and it began in December of 2019. And this should reach the very coldest part in 2030. So with everything else we have to prepare for, perhaps being in the tribulation, watching out over these COVID shots and all this that they have designed to kill us, we have to have protection against the colder weather as well. So, Lou, pick up this story right away.
Yes, this was from a website called the Electroverse. Saturday, March 5th, 2022. The headline, NASA predicts next solar cycle will be lowest in 200 years. Dalton minimum levels. Plus, the implications. An approaching grand solar minimum is gaining ever more support. Even NASA appears to be on board with their recent SC25 prediction. And that would be solar cycle 25, as Elizabeth said. Though predictably, they stay clear of the implications. NASA's forecast for the next solar cycle, 25, reveals it will be the weakest of the last 200 years. The maximum of this next cycle, measured in terms of sunspot number, a standard measure of solar activity level, could be 30 to 50% lower than the most recent one. The agency's results show that the next cycle will start in 2020 and reach its maximum in 2025.
And we interrupt there to say that it was only about a month's difference from December 2019 is when another source said it began.
Yes. The new research was read by Irina Kistiashvili, a researcher with the Bay Area Environmental Research Institute at NASA's Ames Research Center in California's Silicon Valley. It combined observations from two NASA space missions, the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory and the Solar Dynamics Observatory, with data collected since 1976 from the ground-based National Solar Observatory. One challenge for researchers working to predict the sun's activities is that scientists don't yet completely understand the inner workings of our star. Plus, some factors that play out deep inside the sun cannot be measured directly. They have to be estimated from measurements of related phenomena on the solar surface, like sunspots. Kiatashvili's method differs from other prediction tools in terms of the raw material for its forecast. Previously, researchers use the number of sunspots to represent indirectly the activity of the solar magnetic field. The new approach takes advantage of direct observations of magnetic fields emerging on the surface of the sun, data which has only existed for the last four solar cycles. Mathematically combining the data with the three sources of sun observations with the, from the three sources of sun observations with the estimates of its interior activity generated a forecast designed to be more reliable than using any of those sources alone. In 2008, the researchers used this method to make their prediction, which was then put to the test as the current solar cycle unfolded over the last decade. It has performed well, with the forecast strength and timing of the solar maximum aligning closely with reality. Now, the implications. NASA attempts to paint the upcoming solar shutdown as a window of opportunity for space missions. Quote, "The improving ability to make such predictions about space weather are good news for mission planners who can schedule human exploration missions during periods of lower radiation," unquote. This is absurd and serves as yet another example of government agency obfuscation and half-truths. NASA is effectively forecasting a return to the Dalton minimum. That was from 1790 to 1830. But it gives no mention of the brutal cold, crop loss, famine, war, and powerful volcanic eruptions associated with it. Like the deeper Maunder and Spora minimums preceding it, the Dalton brought on a period of lower-than-average global temperatures.
And Lou, we have to interject that added to this scientific information, we have the machinations of what I guess Biden actually referred to as the New World Order, just like H.W. Bush had back in the 1990s. And we have heard that the government has paid farmers in the USA to burn their crops. And I was telling that to a friend on the phone yesterday, and she said, why would they do that? I said, because they want to starve us. There won't be grain by design. Pick it up, Blue.
Yes, the Oberlach station in Germany, for example, experienced a 2 degrees Celsius decline over 20 years. That doesn't sound like much, I'll interject, but it says it devastated the country's food production. The year without a summer also occurred during the Dalton minimum in 1816. It was caused by a combination of already low temperatures plus the after effects of the second largest volcanic eruption in 2,000 years, Mount Tambora's VEI-7 on April 10, 1815.
Yes, continuing what Lou has, the earthquakes and tsunamis that followed killed tens of thousands of people living on the surrounding Indonesian islands. But Tambora's eruption wasn't of much interest to Europe and the U.S., not initially at least. The news was focused on the Napoleonic Wars and the Battle of Waterloo on Sunday, June 18, 1815, in which the Duke of Wellington defeated Napoleon Bonaparte at the expense of 65,000 men. The newspapers were preoccupied with the battle right up until the start of winter in 1815, when the weather turned decidedly wacky. And by 1816, the climate was dominating headline news as both spring and then summer failed to arrive. One Virginia resident recalled, quote, "In June, another snowfall came and folks went sleighing. On July 4th, water froze in cisterns and snow fell again, with Independence Day celebrants moving inside churches where hearth fires warmed things a mite. Clothes froze on the line in New England. Ice on ponds and lakes was reported in northwestern Pennsylvania in both July and August, and Virginia had frost in August. The temperature occasionally got into the 90s, but then would drop to nearly freezing in just a few hours." And I interject, there again is Dr. Casey's theory, especially in the book Upheaval, which also links a lot of coming earthquakes to this phenomenon of the solar minimums. Back to the article, crops that had managed to sprout were frozen out in early June, replanted, and frozen again in July. Very few crops were actually harvested, and of those that were, the yields were very poor. In turn, food and grain prices skyrocketed. Does that sound like anything you've heard lately, listeners? For example, in 1815, oats sold for 12 cents a bushel, but by the next year, a bushel would set you back 92 cents, and the story was the same across the world. The potato crops in Ireland rotted in the ground, resulting in widespread starvation. And that could be why I'm here talking to you. You know, I had some Irish ancestors who probably left because of that. Now, the next point. In England, France, and Germany, wheat crops failed, leading to bread shortages and food riots and looting. Northern China was also hard hit, with thousands of people starving to death. While in southern Asia, torrential rains triggered a cholera epidemic that killed many more. The year 1816 went on to earn another, rather more morbid nickname, 1800, and froze to death. Grand solar minimum. Now here we get some important data, so pay attention. Solar cycle 25, and that's the one that we said began in December of 2019, and it'll basically go on there till 2030, will likely be a mere stop-off on our descent into the next grand solar minimum, a period of even further reduced temperatures and crop yields. Research, the Maunder Minimum, 1645 to 1715, they suggest. And there are other researchers still insisting there won't be a solar cycle 25 at all. While the excellent analysis from Valentina Zarkova suggests that all four of the sun's magnetic fields will go out of phase in 2020, which blows any IPCC warming out of the water. One way or another, the cold times are returning. It's just a matter of when. And now we are moving to the important article in which we talk about the war in Ukraine. And Lou, you said Mariupol has been taken now, correct?
Yes, it's fallen to the Russians the last time I checked. And this involves the possibility of peace. All war in Ukraine.
Yes, and remember, we've been talking about the hidden New World Order machinations. Do they have this war planned to go into World War III, or is it just sort of a diversion? Now, we know Putin has his reasoning, and he may be used of God the way Cyrus was, because he is going to be taking out those U.S. originated bioweapons labs, and they're all relating there. They're on Hunter's laptop. We've heard some horrible things, and these are just rumors that we heard others say. We heard this on the situation update of Mike Adams, that there were things about incest and something about Obama's daughter, all kinds of things that we just can't even imagine, the unutterable evil that is in the part of the elite that is doing these awful things like the spirit cooking. God Almighty is tired of this, and he's tired of these gutless pastors who advise their flocks, be like Jesus and take the aborted fetal cell shots. So here is someone with common sense, and he has a pen name of Lex Green. And right away, Lou knew what that was. What?
Yes, Lexington Green, up in Massachusetts, my home state. The opening battle of the Revolutionary War. We always think of Lexington and Concord. Well, Lexington came just a couple of hours before Concord did.
Yes, and this man, apparently, what he says is so hot that he has to use a pen name. So here it is, a possible way that Putin could conclude the war.
And this appeared at newswithviews.com. The title, Putin's Peace Offer in Ukraine. Before I discuss Putin's current offer for peace in Ukraine, you need to know that I'm not at all interested in convincing you that Putin is a, quote, good guy, unquote. I have no interest in convincing you that the Ukraine government is any better than the Russian government either, because they may in fact be worse. As far as I'm concerned, there are plenty of people to blame for the conflict in Ukraine, beginning with the Biden administration. Obama, the Clintons, Klaus Schwab, the WEF, IMF, NATO, and the UN. I'm only interested in showing you the facts and letting you decide what to make of those facts on your own. It's being reported by numerous foreign news outlets that peace talks between Russia and Ukraine have taken place a few times now. It has also been reported that Putin has put four conditions for peace on the table with Ukraine in those sessions. Here they are. Condition one. Russia will cease fire and lay down their weapons if Ukraine will also cease fire and lay down their weapons at the same time. This is a common condition for peace in every effort to end hostilities between nations, a perfectly reasonable and appropriate condition for peace. Condition number two. Russia took over Crimea during the Obama-Biden administration in February and March of 2014, and it barely made any headlines at all at the time. Crimea voted to rejoin Russia, and Russia annexed Crimea as part of Russia in 2014. A condition for peace with Ukraine is that Crimea will remain part of Russia, and Ukraine must formally recognize Crimea as part of Russia. Condition number three. Ukraine must amend its constitution to guarantee its independent statehood and global neutrality as an independent nation. This confirms that Putin and Russia are not attempting to take over Ukraine and annex it as part of Russia, or rebuild the Soviet Empire, in stark contrast to what Americans have been continuously told by the Biden administration and the U.S. news media, 24/7 every day. The point to this condition for Russia is preventing Ukraine from being annexed into the World Economic Forum Global Communist Reset, which would put NATO on the border of Russia. And condition number four, Ukraine must allow the two pro-Russian breakaway republics in eastern Ukraine, Donetsk and Luhansk, to obtain independent statehood and formally recognize them as such. These two breakaway republics have been trying to establish independence from Ukraine since the fall of the Soviet Union in December 1991. Russia is not demanding the two become part of Russia. Instead, Russia is simply supporting the two republics' desire for independence from Ukraine. In the third peace talks with Ukraine on March 7th, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said unequivocally that if Ukraine government would agree to these four conditions, hostilities between the two countries would end, and, quote, Ukraine will remain an independent state that will live as it wants, unquote. This again publicly commits Russia to allowing Ukraine to remain an independent sovereign state. Now, of the four conditions put on the table by Putin and Russia, three of the four are somewhat easy for the Ukraine government to agree to in their stated desire to end the ongoing conflict. Incidentally, these are the same four conditions Russia has demanded for at least 15 years in their effort to avoid the need for hostilities between the two countries. Only one of the four demands is very difficult for the Ukraine government to agree to, condition number three. Although it is Putin and Russia who stand accused of attempting to conquer territory in Ukraine, it's actually someone else who has been conquering territory all over Europe for years now. This is what forced Putin into a corner, making Putin believe that he had no choice but to confront NATO partners in Ukraine before Ukraine became an enemy touching the Russian border. The history behind current circumstances in Ukraine are pretty well documented.
NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and a private global trade group, was originally formed in 1949 after World War II with the stated purpose and intent of rebuilding European countries torn apart literally and economically during the war. Their secondary purpose was to provide a common defense of the European countries against the Soviet Union, which fell in December 1991. Of the 30 NATO countries today, 28 are European countries, with only the USA and Canada as member states from the West. Since then, the USA, UN, NATO, and now the WEF, and again, that's the World Economic Forum, has been conquering territories all around the globe. They had totally conquered all of Europe and were moving east to the border of Russia in Ukraine. It isn't Putin or Russia who has been conquering territory over the past few decades. It's the great global reset countries, financed by international WEF corporations that have been very busy conquering nations. Putin isn't at war with the people of Ukraine, many of whom are Russian. He is at conflict with corrupt neo-Nazis in Western Ukraine. Note, the Obama-Biden puppet regime was installed in Kiev in 2014. The process of turning Ukraine into the fifth most corrupt country in the world started all the way back in 2005 when a new U.S. senator from Illinois infiltrated the Ukraine government and started to take control of the country. His name is Barack Obama. In reality, Putin has been fighting this problem in his neighboring country ever since. As a result, the one condition tough for Ukraine to agree to is condition number three. Ukraine is trapped in a classic turf war between NATO countries and the WEF global reset in control of Europe on their western border and Putin's Russia on their eastern border. The WEF global reset is designed to end all sovereignty and security for every nation on earth and mold them all into a global commune governed by Klaus Schwab and his global partner network embedded in governments and corporations all over the globe. Lou, very quickly, just recap what that third condition is, quickly.
Yes, the third condition was that Ukraine would be independent, would amend its constitution to guarantee its independent statehood and global neutrality as an independent nation.
Yes, so we can see now with these other forces, NATO and the WEF, this isn't their goal. And back to Lex Green's commentary, like Donald Trump, Putin is a nationalist. It's the only thing the two had in common, the love and protection of their own countries and a firm desire to remain sovereign, independent nations, never becoming part of any communist global group under the WEF. However, the global reset cabal already holds complete control over their puppet government in Ukraine. After all, they installed the current puppet regime and have used Ukraine to launder money, run drugs, prostitution, and human trafficking through Ukraine since at least 2014. Just follow the money. The Ukraine regime is between a rock and a hard place on condition number three. Putin is pressuring the regime from the east, and Klaus Schwab and NATO are pressuring them from the west. It's a no-win situation for the current regime in power in Ukraine. Meanwhile, the entire global reset cabal, including nearly all mainstream news WEF partners, throw gasoline on the turf war in Ukraine by spreading false information about what's really happening in Ukraine and what the conflict is really all about. Putin is determined to keep Schwab and his NATO forces far from the Russian border, and for good reason. After watching how easily people were conned all over the world for over 2 years of the Schwab COVID-19 global reset scam, we could expect the world to be just as easily conned on events in Ukraine. But before we allow global criminals to force the entire world into World War III, it's time for people everywhere to ask a few appropriate questions and demand some honest answers.
Next in our lineup of March Madness, we have the Lying False Shepherds and the Twisted Gospel of the Satanic Church Houses. From LifeSite News, Austrian bishop hangs banner of nude trans activists over main altar for Lent. The model's Instagram account shows many equivocal pictures of trans men, tortured faces, and homosexuals kissing, as well as a post about how abortion is a sacral act. This is by Jean Smits, Paris correspondent for LifeSite News, Friday, March 4th. The Catholic Bishop of Innsbruck, Austria, inaugurated a Lenten decoration for the main altar of the historic University Church of St. John Nepomuk, a Baroque jewel from the early 18th century. The decoration, and that's in quotes, the decoration shows an enlarged, partial inverted photograph of a naked young man with scars and tattoos lying on a bed and has been placed as an altarpiece above the tabernacle of the former main altar of the church. The piece of contemporary art by Carmen Brusick was specially chosen by Bishop Herman Glettler and bears the title Tired. Bishop Glettler has campaigned for the blessing of same-sex couples in the past. More on that later. In itself, the more than life-size picture, 4.5 by 3 meters, roughly 12 by a little more than 12 by 9 feet, is completely incongruous over an altar because it has no religious meaning. But the picture of this nude young man lying on his back in an exhausted attitude, barely missing the display of his genitalia, is doubly scandalous. Besides its obvious indecency in such a setting, it portrays a prominent figure of the queer scene in Belisi, thus opening glorifying a gay activist from Georgia whose image will remain over the tabernacle until the end of Lent. The said young man, David Apikidze, 23, is half Georgian, half Ukrainian, a somewhat obvious way of presenting the photo installation as a reflection of the current Russian invasion of Ukraine. But he is better known as an activist of the Bassiani Club, where Georgian homosexuals, drag queens, and other self-proclaimed promoters of sexual deviancy have found a safe space, and that's in quotes, a safe space for techno music, rave parties, and LGBTQ performances. The club was founded in 2014 and hosted performances that can only be qualified as hellish. In May 2018, the club was raided by police and closed. Many later joined a public protest dubbed Rave Illusion Days, with crowds dancing nonstop in the streets to techno music. The club was reopened, but closed again for many months due to COVID restrictions. At this time, Apikidze became a member of the, quote, Queer Georgian Art Collective, unquote, dedicated to destroying, quote, toxic social norms. And this is Lou, and I'm just going to explain the next paragraph as a quote from an online magazine. Belisi-based queer art collective Fungus thrives amid hostility by creating unapologetically bold art and a supportive community. The group of 20 artists are carving out a safe space for queer youth in a society seeking to marginalize them. Fungus thrives in damp and dark places, the group's manifesto reads. It plays a vital role in the ecology of the biosphere. By decomposing any organic matter, it creates rich soil. A counterculture prospers in a similar way, explained the Calvert Journal, an online magazine, quote, exploring the contemporary culture and creativity of the New East, that is, Eastern Europe and the Balkans. And this is Lou again interrupting. Isn't it interesting and significant that this group thinks of themselves as a disease that destroys, quote, social norms, and calls themselves fungi, funguses. Fungus, a very left-wing liberal base, was formed to hold a queer art show alongside the Belisi Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week 1 year ago. The plan was stalled by COVID restrictions. The group went on to organize many events linked to the rave revolution. This is where Carmen Roussi, the Tyrolean photographer who was approached by Bishop Gledler to contribute to his tired, lost, displaced art show that consists in the display of three installations in as many churches in Innsbruck this Lent. The bishop appears to have appreciated an exhibition she set up at the Belisi Photo Festival in Georgia in the summer of 2021 under the title Private Stages. It portrayed five activists of the rave revolution. Apikidze was one of them. Brusik chose to shoot her pictures of the young man in all his, quote, fragility, unquote, lying naked on a bed, adopting different poses. The photo chosen by Bishop Gledler focuses on Apikidze's inclined face, chest, and outstretched arm in a way that apes an inverted crucifixion, showing the activist's pierced nipple and multiple tattoos and scars on his inner arms due to self-harm. In our discussion, Bishop Gledler got the ball rolling by proclaiming that the photo of the young man in the picture is characterized by suffering and aggression against oneself. The photo is, quote, an expression of exhaustion and resistance.
And Lou, we have to comment here. Satan is a very good counterfeiter. You see, rather than the momentous suffering of Jesus Christ, it's hard for us to even picture that he could take on all of our sins and weaknesses and everything of all people who ever lived. It's a burden beyond comprehension, but it has a redemption at the end of it. It gives us life, not death. So the counterfeit is to have the self-suffering where you hate yourself and you cut yourself or you mutilate yourself. Satan is death and Jesus is life. Go ahead.
Yes, Elizabeth, you're so right. Going on, the bishop cannot have ignored Carmen Brusick's other work, Dark and Tortured, abounding in images of death, waste, and destructured human figures. Nor can he have missed the short video showing the artist's work for the Belize Festival with its images of transsexual men and the full series of the homoerotic shots of Apikidze. Apikidze's own Instagram account shows many equivocal pictures of trans men, tortured faces, homosexuals kissing, and altogether weird and disturbing young people who have no idea of their own dignity. It includes the photograph of a contemporary art exhibit labeled Abortion Pills set up. According to the artist, is a corner of the icons of the Virgin Mary, which is an advertising campaign for abortion pills. And Apikidze further comments, quote, abortion is a sacral act in which a woman reclaims the right to reproduce, unquote. This man's picture is now hiding the Baroque altarpiece of an Austrian church with the dubious blessing of the local bishop, who not only inaugurated the work together with Carmen Brusick last Tuesday, but who claims full responsibility for choosing and organizing what must be a blasphemous installation, given the context. In March 2019, Gledler allowed a Jesus clock, made from an upside-down corpus with broken arms, to be installed in the Spittelskirche in Innsbruck throughout Lent. He has also allowed an artist to set up scaffolding featuring an inscription that read, quote, so long as God has a beard, I will be a feminist, unquote. In March 2021, Bishop Gledler reacted negatively to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith's rejection of blessings for same-sex couples, instead encouraging the church to welcome them. Quote, as a church, we would like to offer all people who are gay, lesbian, or insecure about their sexuality a welcome and a spiritual home in the church, and not only at the point when they are celibate, unquote. And he told that to Kath Press in an interview. He called this Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith statement, which was approved by Pope Francis, a, quote, disappointment for all who have hoped for a clearer sign of acceptance of homosexual couples, unquote. He added that the statement was a sort of insult and a signal telling them, quote, the way in which you are living is not right, unquote. He suggested that family members of such pairs should bless them instead, putting an end to the discussion about the banning of church blessings. And I'm adding here, Hermann Gledler was named as Bishop of Innsbruck in 2017 by Pope Francis.
And yes, there's trouble in the Protestant church as well in Finland, putting Christians on trial for their faith. We'll get into that more next week. But now we must move to the Gateway Pundit, Jim Hoft, March 25th. Emails from Hunter Biden's laptop prove he helped secure millions in funding for U.S. contractors in Ukraine specializing in deadly pathogen research. As reported earlier, Hunter Biden's firm provided the capital for the firms behind the Ukrainian biolabs. The Gateway Pundit broke this news earlier this month. The U.S. State Department admitted there were dangerous U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine during Senate testimony earlier this month. Then on Wednesday, the Biden regime backtracked and insisted there were no U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine. Why the sudden confusing messaging from the Biden gang, especially when there are documents that prove the U.S. was funding several of the biolabs they set up in Ukraine to study potentially dangerous pathogens? It may be because Hunter Biden's firm, Rosemont Seneca, was funding the firms involved in the building of these labs in Ukraine, and they felt this was not something they wanted the American people to know. InfoWars put together an excellent article with connections between Hunter Biden and the firm Metabiota, which was involved in the creation of biolabs in Ukraine. The Gateway Pundit identified through the Wayback Machine that Rosemont Seneca provided capital invested in Metabiota as noted on the firm's website back in 2014. Oh, Lou, we interject. Remember some of what you read from Lex Green? It seems as though this has been going on quite a while, this corruption that has a U.S. link in it in Ukraine.
Yes, that's right.
So back to this article. It is listed as our team's investments. Isn't that interesting? Now, you see, this is kind of like a money laundering thing, I guess, an indirect supporting machine. The way back machine there telling that Rosemont Seneca provided this capital, and it's listed as our team's investments on the Rosemont Seneca webpage. We also located a number of documents from the way back machine, meaning they have been since deleted off the Internet, that show the Department of Defense investing in the creation of biolabs in Ukraine with the help of firm Black & Veatch. Here is a sample of one of the documents located. We've located nearly a dozen of these documents, and then they show that. Metabiota publicized its relationship with Black & Veatch, that's capital V-E-A-C-H, in 2018. Today, Metabiota, the pioneer in epidemic risk modeling, announced it has been awarded a subcontract from Black & Veatch to support the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency's Cooperative Biological Engagement Program in Iraq under the Biological Threat Reduction Integrating Contract. Metabiota has also partnered with BNV, and again, that was Black & Veatch, on DTRAs, and that was the Defense Threat Reduction Agency of the U.S. It's recently awarded Cooperative Threat Reduction Integrating Contract number 3 with an indefinite delivery / indefinite quantity contract ceiling of $970 million. And again, Lou, we've commented many times about the Orwellian language that black is white and white is black. And so what says it's a cooperative threat reduction integrating contract really means you better look out. They're coming to get you. And back to the article, the Russian media on Thursday also accused Hunter Biden of funding the Ukrainian biolabs. And now there is more proof that Hunter Biden funded the Ukrainian biolabs. It comes from his own laptop. The Daily Mail published emails from the laptop from hell on Friday linking Hunter Biden to the Ukrainian biolabs. The rest of the fake news media is ignoring this. Via the Daily Mail, in April 2014, Metabiota Vice President Mary Gutierrez wrote a memo to Hunter outlining how they could, quote, assert Ukraine's cultural and economic independence from Russia, end of quote. Thanks so much for taking time out of your intense schedule to meet with Kathy DeMeo, Metabiota executive, that is, and on Tuesday, we very much enjoyed our discussion, Gutierrez wrote. More. 4 days after Gutierrez's April 2014 email, Burisma executive Vadim Pozharsky, something like that, wrote to Hunter, revealing that the then vice president's son had pitched a, quote, science project. Oh, Lou, that sounds like when you were teaching. Little science project, you get a few beakers out, you pour a few chemicals in. Oh,
yeah, make little models of things.
Oh, right. Yes. So then Vice President's son had pitched a science project involving Burisma and Metabiota in Ukraine. Please find few initial points to be discussed for the purposes of analyzing the potential of this, as you called, science Ukraine project, Pozharsky wrote. There is more here. Watch the media ignore the fact that it was Joe Biden's son who was funding the dangerous biolabs in Ukraine, the same biolabs the fake news insists never existed. Is your mind out there blown yet? We wonder whether it is, and we're in this morality madness. You know, next week we're going to continue some amazing things that are going on. And when we see this collapse of morality and everything that we knew generations ago and decades ago as good and wholesome. Here's another little headline. We'll start to get into this. March the 4th, Natural News, pro-LGBT Girl Scouts in Australia transitioned into something unrecognizable. It is interesting to note that in the midst of our transgender craze, boys identifying as girls are constantly trying to join female groups and gain access to female-only spaces. But girls identifying as boys are not, for example, cleaning house at swim meets or demanding access to various male sports teams. The destruction of female-only organizations and spaces by men and boys identifying as women and girls is one of the tragedies of the transgender revolution. And so this article is by Jonathan Von Maron, and it's republished from LifeSiteNews.com. And we'll just pick this up a little bit. The latest casualty is Karen Lizignoli, who lasted exactly 1 week as CEO of Girl Guides in Western Australia last December before being fired after she objected to a change in the Girl Guides constitution that changed the definition of girl to, quote, any person under the age of 18 who lives their life as female, end of quote, and changed the definition of woman to, quote, any person aged 18 years or older who lives their life as female. It's really crazy, isn't it? And we must refer to an article that was in the Bedford Gazette. We'll get into this probably more later. But it's so horrific, we could hardly stand to think about it. Lou, you have it, and we'll just recap slightly there. This article tells about this horrendous, from the pit of hell, push now by Moderna and Pfizer to inject these babies, actual babies. And it shows a picture of a dear little boy. He's 3 years old, and he's peeking in a drawer, just the way a little kid would, looking for his hidden Christmas gift. I remember, I always chuckled, my brother, who's 3 years younger than I am, always knew where all his Christmas gifts were. He was really clever at ferreting everything out. I guess he almost showed that scientific ability that Lou has, too, at an early age. But this poor, dear little boy, he looking in there, he was going to be a part of this study, and they injected him. And Lou, what did it say? He just cried a little bit.
Yes, no.
Read that. If you see that paragraph, I think over there, maybe on the second column or somewhere, it's something like he cried a little bit.
Well, I don't happen to see
that. You don't see that, but this is just beyond abominable to the Lord. It's beyond. Think of what's happening, and the pastors are still silent. If you value this program, and we do really love all of you, and we pray for you, please give us help at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And may Jesus Christ watch over each of you and send you healing. Please pray for Jim's very close relative, who is probably terminally ill, who probably had the shots, and the cancer recurred. So please keep us in your prayers as we do you. May God bless you. Good night.